Good side of your face, all right.
Back of my head. We'll say good morning. So today's daf is Yud Ches. We're going to start from the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Chal Diosach Rashavas. And I will say, now we're reversing the cases a little bit, and now we're focusing on a situation of Yom Tov that falls after Shabbos. Remember, up until now, our focus has really been on Yom Tov leading into Shabbos. That was the whole discussion of Erev Tavshilin. Now, Yom Tov falling out after Shabbos. Chal Diosach Rashavas. If Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, so b'shamay omrim, b'shamay say, matbilin es haklim lifnei haShabbos. So b'shamay say that if you have any kelim that you need to tov on, and I will say again, this is different than the way we normally think about tevilas kelim. Although again, when we think about tevilas kelim, we think about I have a new utensil. I want to go ahead and use it, so I tovel it. So the truth is, when the Mishnah classically speaks about tevilas kelim, immersion of utensils, the Mishnah, of course, is referring to tumah. But the truth is, technically speaking, it's actually the same basic idea. So Beis Shammai says, if you need any utensils that need to be toveled, they must be toveled on Friday, prior to Shabbos. So, I'm sorry, Beis Shammai Omrim, I'm sorry, Beis Shammai Omrim, I'll say, kelim lifnei haShabbos, utensils must be toveled before Shabbos, v'adam b'Shabbos. But according to Beis Hillel, a person is able to go ahead and be tovel on Shabbos. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, melifnei haShabbos, dekaimalam b'Rosh Hashanah, chayiv adam letar es atzmo b'regel, dechsiv b'niv lasam lo sigo, umokim lei b'regel, hilchach yatlo me'erev Shabbos, da'asa lahatpil b'Shabbos yom tov. So we'll say, we will see that L'maisa, that everyone agrees that on Yom Tov there's a special din that both the individual as well as one's utensils must be in a state of tara for the Yom Tov. So according to Beis Shammai, you have to do everything on Friday. According to Beis Hillel, your kelim you should do before Shabbos. However, va'adam b'Shabbos, but an individual is permitted to be tovel according to Beis Hillel even on Shabbos itself. V'shavin, but both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree. Shemashikin es hamayim b'kli evin l'tara. So we'll say it's a very interesting case. Everyone agrees that you can go ahead and you could do something called hashaka. What's hashaka? Look at Rashi. V'shavin shemashikin. V'shavin shemashikin es hamayim. Mi shiyish l'mayim yofin lishtos v'netimu. So we'll say it's a fine situation. I have drinking water, and my drinking water now becomes tummy. The drinker becomes stumbling. Now, I will say, this is a problem because on Yom Tov, one really has to be in a ritual state of purity since much of Yom Tov service requires involvement in the Beis HaMikdash. So I have drinking water. My drinking water becomes tummy. What do I do? Says Rashi. Mimali mehen kli evan. You put the chummy drinking water in a stone utensil. Why a stone utensil? Because stone is not mekabel tuma. Stone is not mekabel tuma. V'nosnam b'mikvah. Mayim meluchim. And I put the stone utensil into a water. Now he says into a mikvah of water, salt water. Now salt water, the ladavka salt water. What he's saying is generally mikvah was not potable water. You shouldn't. I mean, generally good idea. Don't drink. Keep your mouth closed when you go in. So again, because the mikvah itself wasn't drinkable water. So what would you do? You would take this tummy water in a stone utensil, and you would immerse it in the mikvah. And shemashik mayim lemayim. We'll say hashaka is literally from Lashon of Nishika, until the waters would kiss each other. V'nimtsu elu ziruim u'michubaran l'mei ha'mikvah u'batli agabayhu v'taro. V'ein ot tara b'mikvah l'cho ocha l'mashke ela l'mayim v'lo b'toras tvila ela b'toras zriya k'derim. So also listen to this, a very interesting idea. So if I had water, drinking water that became tummy on Yom Tov, and I need to go ahead and make it usable for Yom Tov purpose, what would I do? I'd put it in a stone utensil. I'd immerse it ever so slightly in the mikvah itself, just to allow the waters to kiss each other, to allow the waters of the main mikvah to kiss, so to speak, the waters in my utensil. And that essentially, that chibur, that connection, that kiss to the main mikvah would go ahead and make the mayim tmeim, tahorim. It would go ahead and purify the waters. So both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you can go ahead mashikin asmai b'kli avon l'tahorim. Aval lo matbilin, but we may not go ahead and immerse. We'll see exactly what this means in the Gemara. Umatbilin migav legav. And you can go ahead and be tovel something to change it from one purpose to another purpose. Umechabura lechabura. And from one group to another. The Gemara is going to explain what both of these things mean. So Rabbosai, what comes out is a fundamental machlokes to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about what to do regarding tefilas kelim and tefilas adam. According to Beis Shammai, it sounds like everything has to be done from before Shabbos. Matabilin es hakol mifnei Shabbos. Hakol means what? Adam and kelim. According to Beis Hillel, kelim Friday, adam even on Shabbos. And Rabbosai, when Beis Hillel says adam even on Shabbos also means what? On Yom Tov as well. So it says the Gemara. Let's begin with what everybody agrees with. Kuli Alma Mias Kli B'Shabbos. Now, both say, interestingly enough, the one thing that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree with is what? That you may not be Tovel Kalim on Yom Tov. So that everybody agrees with. My Taimo, why not? I'm sorry? Shabbos. On Shabbos, excuse me. On Shabbos, thank you. Everyone, I will say, we're going to see about the same thing for Yom Tov as well. Because remember, again, obviously it's the same thing for Yom Tov because we're talking about a situation of Shabbos that's going into Yom Tov. So remember, essentially what everybody is agreeing is what? If you have Kalim you want to Tovel, you must Tovel them when? You must Tovel on Friday. So again, so essentially everybody's agreeing you can't Tovel Kalim on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Why not? Amar Rabba says, Gzeira Tap of Yirches. So we'll say this is the famous Gezerah de Rabba. What is Rabba concerned about? That if we let you go ahead and Tovel Kalim on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, what's going to occur? You're going to go ahead and end up carrying it Dalet Amos in Rosh Hasharabim on Shabbos. On Shabbos, so Rashi says, V'yaverenu Abra Abbas Rosh Hasharabim, Mimkoma Adam Mikveh. So we'll say obviously this concern would not apply on Yom Tov. Right, because again, remember, on Yom Tov, Hotsah, purposeful Hotsah is permitted. But we're concerned that if we let you Tovel the Kli on Shabbos, you may come to carry Dalet Amos and Rosh Hasharabim. Amar li Abayis. Abayis says, okay. Yesh lo bar b'chatzeir on my ikal lemeimar. Rabosavarab zivai b'mikvah. But bar literally means a pit. Rabos like, what is a mikvah? So a mikvah is a pit with 40 sa'ah of rainwater. So let's say I happen to have a mikvah in my yard. So I don't need to carry it anywhere. Amar li gizera bar b'chatzeir to which he answers, okay, we're concerned that if we let you use a mikvah in your courtyard, you may come to what? You may come to carry it to a mikvah in Rosh Hasharabim, which of course will also be a violation of the Malach of Hotzah. So the Gemara says, Hatinach Shabbos b'yom tov ma'ikah le'meimar. So I understand why you would want to prohibit toveling kalim on Shabbos, but why shouldn't you be able to tovel on Yom Tov? After all, again, carrying on Yom Tov for a Yom Tov purpose is permitted, to which the Gemara says, Gazru Yom Tov atu Shabbos. We're concerned that if we allow you to do it on Yom Tov, you may come to do it on Shabbos. Umi Gazrinan, the Rabbo said, do we make such gezeros? Look at Rashi, Umi Gazrinan. Umi achmo rabbanon kuli hai, bahach takanto, de tvilas kelim, le nigzar hetero atu isur ugzil ugzil. Rabbo said, you have to understand, this is now piling on many levels of gezeros. What you're telling me is, technically speaking, should I be able to Tovel Kalim on Shabbos? Yes. I don't. Why? Gzeira, lest you come to carry Dalet Amos Rosh Hasharabim. And now what you're telling me is, okay, so now let's say I have a mikvah in my courtyard. Should I be able to Tovel it there? Yes. Except Gzeira, that you may come to carry Dalet Amos Rosh Hasharabim. Yom Tov. Should I be able to do it on Yom Tov? Yes. But what? Yom Tov may come to Shabbos. So you might say, what's going on over here? This is so many levels of Gzeiros. But now we learned, I'm sorry, Michael Neymar, Gazu Yom Tov, I'm sorry, I just lost this. Hatei Shabbos, Umikaz Vinon. Do we really make these multiple layers of Gezeros? V'hatinan, and we learned, V'shaven Shemash, Shikin Esamayim, Bikli Evan Letarun. Avalo Makbilan. Rabbo say, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that what? That you can go ahead and do this process of Hashaka. You can go ahead and immerse the waters in the stone utensil, the waters that themselves became Tamei. You can immerse them in the stone utensil in the mikvah in order to render them tahor. Ive Isa nigzar hashaka atu hatbala. So I will say, why don't we say that no, we're not going to let you do hashaka lest you come to us. We'll see later on, by the way, the case of matbilin. I'll just tell you this outside because it makes the grammar make a little bit more sense now. The case of when the Mishnah says that you can do hashaka abalo matbilin. Matbilin will be the following case. If I have a wood utensil that's tame and I have waters that are Tameim. So I say to myself, you know what? You know how I'm going to go to be Matar the waters? I'm going to put the waters in the Tamei wood utensil, immerse the wood utensil, and go ahead and make the waters Tahorin as well. That you can't do. That you can't do. Why? Because there, again, you're not only rendering the waters fit, but rather, what are you doing? You're rendering the Kli fit. So why don't they say that I should prohibit Hashaka on Shabbos, lest you what? Lest you come to be Tova the Kli. So the Gemara says, Tizbira. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. E isli mayim yafim, hani lameli leme avadlu Hashaka. Now let's analyze the Hashaka case. If I have other drinkable water, so why would I be doing the Hashaka? Ella de lesle, rather it must be what? It must be that lemaisa, that's the only water I have. The chavon de lesle mis harzair. So we'll say essentially what the Gemara is answering over here is, since this is the only water I have, see, we're working backwards a little bit. In the case of Hashaka, I wouldn't be doing this unless, of course, what? I didn't have any other water. Therefore, again, because this is my only amount of water, I will be very careful with it, never to let it become tame to begin with. Therefore, a case of limited drinking supply of water becoming tame when there is no other available water is a milsa de lo shchicha, is an infrequent case, and we have a klal about milsa de lo shchicha lo gazri bei rabbonon. That Rabbi said the rabbis do not legislate regarding uncommon cases. Therefore, the reason we allow you to do hashaka on Yom Tov with drinking water that became tame is that that is such an outlier of a case. It's such an infrequent case that the rabbis weren't gozer. But let's say, again, the case of coming to go in and carry a kli on Yom Tov, that could be a more common case. And therefore, on Shabbos. And therefore, Lemaisa, the rabbi said, you can't go ahead and be tovel, be kli on Shabbos. So Eisvei, the Gemara raises the kasha. So I'll say, according to this first approach, so we're going all in Rabbah. We're trying to figure out, why is there a prohibition to go ahead and tovel the kli on Shabbos? So Rabbah's telling me the whole concern is I may come to carry. So Gemara says, Eisvei, Madlin bidli tamei, v'hutar. This is an interesting case. Let's say I want to draw water. I'm drawing water from a pit of water on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, or for that matter, on Shabbos, Rashi says over here. Rashi says, "Madlin Main Bedli Tamei V'Hutar Me'ilav." So, I say, listen to this. So now I'm drawing water. I'm drawing water, but my bucket is Tamei. It happens to be that the pit from which I'm drawing the water happens to what? Have the dimensions of a kasher mikvah. So my intention over here is not to go ahead and be metahir the dli, be metahir the bucket, but it happens Me'ilav. It just kind of happens anyway because I just want water. And I'm both like, it could be a very simple situation. It doesn't have to be Yom Tov. It's just a Stam Shabbos. Stam Shabbos. And remember again, as if I'm not a Kohen, we'll see this later on. The truth is, drawing water with a tummy bucket is not a big deal to begin with. It really only makes difference if you're a Kohen or if it's Yom Tov with the Regalim. So the Maisik and the Bryson now says over here, I can go ahead and draw water with a tummy bucket, and the bucket becomes Tahar by virtue of the fact that these pits from which I'm drawing the water has dimensions of a kasher mikvah. V'i isa nigzer dilma asalat bulei be'ene. Now, if you're really concerned, if we really make these gzeros, that if we allow A, you'll come to B, then we shouldn't allow this case either. Why? Because if we allow this case, what may happen? You may come to Tovel, the bucket, straight out. You may come, meaning if we let you draw water with this bucket, where again your intention is to draw water but not be told with the bucket, but the effect is the same, which is what? The bucket is now taller. Why don't we be concerned that if we let you do this, you may come to Tovel with the bucket straight out? To which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, Mitoch Shalo Hutchalo Ella Ayede Dalyo Zacharhu. To which the Gemara answers, no, that case is different. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because since at the end of the day, the only way it's permitted is how? Because I'm drawing water, a person will remember that they are not permitted to tovel a kli straight out. That since this is such a roundabout way of toveling the kli, and since I'm doing it in a way that clearly my intention is to draw the water, a person will not come to confuse this case of it with will not come to confuse this case with another case of a straight tvila and come to permit the tvila. Esvei, where is another kasha? Kli shnit mame erev yom tov. If you have a utensil that became Tamei and Erev Yom Tov, Ein Matpilin Osob Yom Tov, you may not immerse it in the Mikvah Yom Tov. Be Yom Tov, Matpilin Osob Yom Tov. But Rabbi Osai, if the utensil, if the Kli became Tamei on Yom Tov, you may go ahead and be Tovlet on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Rashi just points out to Rabbi Osai, Kli Shnit Me'er Erev Yom Tov, Uba'av HaTumah. it's becoming tamei with an avatoma. We'll see kelim become, what's an avatoma? A rodent. You know, a dead rodent is inside of it. So that's an avatoma. So Rashi, so the Gemara says over here that if it became tamei erev yom tov, ein matbilin osob yom tov. Rashi says, hoyil, vahoyil ola hatumim ba'od yom. Because if it became tamei erev yom tov, when should you have tovled it? You should have tovled it. You had tamei erev yom tov. However, b'yom tov matbilin osob yom tov. Rashi says, v'yishtamish po hayom, chulin shein tzvichin erev shemesh. We'll say just a technical point, which we're not going to get too into over here. When you tovel a utensil on that day, technically speaking, you still require Herev Shemesh. You require the sun to go down. So what you do is you can't use that kli for consecrated items, but you can absolutely use it for chulin. So the Gemara said, Ve'im Isa nigzer di yom tov, atu de erev yom tov. So why don't we say that you shouldn't even be able to tovo your kli that became tamei on yom tov, lest you what? Lest you come to be tovo the kli that became tamei on erev yom tov. To which the Gemara says, Milsa delo shchicha hi. So we'll say the content of a kli becoming tamei on yom tov is a milsa de lo shlicha, is an uncommon occurrence. Why is it an uncommon occurrence? Because everybody is so vigilant with the laws of tuma and tahara on yom tov that a kli becoming tamei on yom tov is just simply uncommon, and therefore the rabbis did not legislate in uncommon cases. Asim, Gemara is another kasha. Kli shenitma ba'avatuma. If you have a utensil that became tamei with an avatuma, Ein matbilin oso b'yom tov. You may not go ahead and tovel it on yom tov. So as we just said before, this is the kli shenitma ba'avatuma. This is like the rodent. Rashi points out over here, kli shenitma ba'avatuma me'erev yom tov. This is again talking about a case of a utensil that became tamei with an avatuma on erev yom tov. Therefore, you may not go ahead and be tovel it on yom tov itself. However, bivlad hatuma, but Rabosai, if the utensil became tummy with a vlada tuma, then lemaisa again, you may tovel it even on yom tov itself. And Rabosai, what's the vlada tuma? Vlada tuma is the case, let's say a person touched a rodent, and then a person touched the kli. That means the kli became tummy with secondary tuma. Rabosai, understand the following. Mid de oraisa, there is no such concept as a vlad hatuma. For kelim, the only type of real biblical tuma that exists is tuma that's received from an avatuma. Tuma from a vlada tuma does not exist. It's only midirabanan. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that if you have a kli that became tuma with a vlada tuma on erev yom tov, you may tovel that kli on yom tov. I have the Gemara says v'im isa nigzar ha atu ha. So why don't we say that if we allow you to go ahead and be tovel a kli that became tummy through a vlada tuma, that may lead you to what? To be tovel a kli that became tummy through an avatum, which would be problematic. To which the Gemara says, vlada tuma hechim mishkachas lo. Gabi kohanim. Rabbi say, who does vlada tuma impact? Vlada tuma does not impact regular people, right? Why? Because Rabbi say, vlada tuma does not convey tuma to chul. The only thing that vlada tuma has an impact on is what? Is truma, is consecrated items. So who does it impact? It impacts Kohanim. Kohanim's reasoning. And Rabosai, again, Kohanim themselves are exceptionally vigilant. Rashi says, "Velo asi lemishrei de avatuma inam is reason mi lavo tuma lekele." And v'habimilsa lo shlicha. So Rabosai, either way, either if it happens, Kohanim will be careful not to tovel it, or Kohanim will be careful from not allowing it to happen in the first place. In which case, it's a milsa lo shlicha, and that's why the rabbis are not to go there. Tashma, Dabra Vichibar Ashi Amarav. Nida, Shein Labigadim. I will say a very interesting case. Let's say a woman is a Nida. Now again, Shein Labigadim. Let's say she doesn't have clothing to change into after she does her Tvila. Now look at Rashi. Shein Labigadim, Torim. Lahachlev Vililbosh Acher Tvilasa. Bahayom Yom Tov. Ve'ini Yachola Hatpil Es Ilu Shala. Now I will say, listen to this. In the days when there was ritual purity, so a woman had separate clothing for when she was a Nida. Big day Nidus. And I will say the reason she needed separate clothing is because that clothing became Tamei as a result of her menstruation, as a result of her Nida status. So let's say, which means that a woman needed another set of clothing for after she went to the mikvah. So let's say in the following situation. A woman is going to the mikvah on Yom Tov, and she doesn't have Tahor clothing. So what should she do? So the Gemara said, and I will say, again, we're assuming now she can't go ahead and be tovel her clothing straight out. She can't do that for reasons that we said before. So what does she do? Ma'aremes v'tavalas b'begadeha. Literally, she does a little bit of ramos. She pulls a little bit of a trickery. And what does she do? She goes into the mikvah with her clothing. She wears her clothing into the mikvah. And I will say, Rashi points out over here, ma'aremes v'tavalas kishi levugsha v'salka latvila af lekelin. Listen to this. So therefore, she goes into the mikvah wearing her clothing. And I will say it's very interesting. The assumption over here is that it's somewhat loose-fitting clothing so that it won't serve as a chatzitza, that her body will still get fully wet. We'll see. She just has an interesting idea. Well, I'll say it for later. So, in any event, so she goes into the mikvah wearing her clothing. So, therefore, what she accomplishes two things: she's tovel herself, and she's tovel her clothing as well. So the Gemara says, "I v'im isa nigzer dilma asilat bule ba'anayu." So, why don't we say that we should prohibit this? Why? Lest she come to go ahead and tovel her clothing straight out. Meaning, let's say she assumes based on this that she could take her clothing and tovel her clothing straight out. To which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam." To which the Gemara says, no. Since it's clear to her that the only reason she's able to do this is because she's wearing the clothing, she's not going to come to assume that because she could tovel the clothing while she's wearing it, that she could be tovel the clothing while she's not wearing it as well, a straight out tevila of the clothing. Meaning, since she understands this case is such a yotzei min haklal, such an aberration, such an exception, she will not come to infer that based on this, she'd be permitted to be tovel the clothing straight out to herself. So Rabbi Osai, all of this is in the opinion of Rabbah, who holds that the reason you can't be tovel, the reason you can't immerse utensils on Shabbos is, and on Yom Tov, is lest you come, well really on Shabbos, is lest you come to what? Lest you come to carry it. And therefore again, the Gzeira on Yom Tov is just simply an extension of the Gzeira of Shabbos. That's our first opinion. Rabbi Yosef says no, the issue of toveling utensils, something totally different. Rav Yosef Amar Gzeira Mishum Schita. The issue is because we're concerned that if we let you be tovel certain objects, that what? You may come to wring them out. And I will say, what's the problem of wringing out on Shabbos? It's an issue of melading. The issue of schita, of squeezing liquid out of clothing or of utensils, is laundering. Laundering, again, is one of the 39 malachos, and schita, squeezing the water out of a garment after it's been laundered, is part of the laundering process. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abayis, Abayis is 1 second, Tinach kilim d'nei schita ninu, kilim d'lav d'nei schita ninu, ma'ikal neymar. That works fine for what? You know, for my clothing, or for objects, again, that can be squeezed. Why should work my salad bowl, right? Why should work for objects that are hard, that are not squeezed? To which the Gemara says, Amar lei gzeira hani atu hani. Oh, to which Rav Yosef responds, because what? We will prohibit the immersion of even non-squeezable utensils, lest you come to what? Immerse squeezable utensils and then be sochet them afterwards, which could potentially lead to a malacha d'oraisa. So interestingly enough, even in Rav Yosef's logic, we have gzeira ha atu ha. We're prohibiting this, lest you come to do this. Then the Gemara says, they asked all the same questions to Rav Yosef, v'shani lei kidishaninan. And Rav Yosef answers all of the questions like we just asked before in the same way. Fine. Third opinion. Rav Bibi Amar, gezera sheme yasher. Well, this is very interesting. Rav Bibi says, you know why we don't let you go ahead and tovel kalim on Shabbos and ultimately on Yom Tov? Because we're afraid that if we let you do that, you're going to come to delay immersing your utensils until Shabbos and Yom Tov. Look at Rashi, Shema Yasha, Ishar Zeilat Bulinu B'Yom Tov, Mashi Luhu Ad Yom Tov, Shupanoi V'Asi Buhu B'Soch Kach, Lidei Takal, Lishtamish Ben Shuma. So it's very interesting. So Yosef says over here, that what are we concerned about? If we let you immerse Kalim on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos for that matter, what's going to happen? You'll come to leave all of your Kalim to be immersed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because you have time. Because the weekday is busy. I have time to do it on Shabbos. And I will say, interestingly enough, what Rashi points out over here is the concern over here is that you may come to go ahead and in between use this utensil for truma. Mm-hmm. So what the Gemara is saying is we really don't like to have tame utensils lying around, especially again if when truma comes on, because again truma tuma could be conveyed to truma from a utensil in a very easy way. So therefore, out of concern that you're going to leave tame utensils lying around until Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chazal said you may not go ahead and be tovel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rava Amar Rava says, Rava says that you know why we don't let you go ahead and immerse utensils on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because it looks like you're fixing a utensil. Look at Rashi. Rava Amar Taima Demasnisin Bipne Shemira Kimitakin Kli Vidamya Litakonas Melacha the Gazali Rabban. I will say, so what's the prohibition over here? It seems to me there's a prohibition of like Makya Bepatish, Tikun Mane. That on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, you are not allowed to do something that looks like a constructive malacha. So the act of toveling something has the appearance of a constructive malacha, because what are you doing? You're actively changing the state of something from tumah to tara. Therefore, says Rabbah, you may not immerse utensils on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's nira kimetaki. Ihachi adam nami. But using that same logic, then what? Then Abba say a person should not be able to be tovel in the mikveh as well. Because after all, again, Abba say, what are you doing when a person is tovel in the mikveh? You are fixing him, so to speak. You're changing his state. And yet remember, the one thing that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the one thing that Beis Hillel disagreed with Beis Shammai is that what? Is that an individual can immerse in the mikveh both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, to which the Gemara says, Adam Nira Kimaker. Here's the difference, that when a person goes into the mikveh, it could be that it doesn't have to be the Dapka person is going in there for Tevila purposes, but rather, why is a person going in there? To cool down. That will say, understand, this is an important sociological piece here, which is that very often mikvahs were also bathhouses. Mm-hmm. So meaning for us, if it's a hot day, no one says, you know, let's head over to the mikvah. Right? But again, in the times of the Gemara, and even past that, so the truth is the mikvah is also a bathhouse. So a person on a hot day would actually head over to the mikvah. So if what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that you're right, the same concern would apply to a person, except when a person immerses in a mikvah, we wouldn't readily assume that a person is doing that because they're tameh and now they want to become tahor. But a person could just as easily be doing that to cool down, to which the Gemara says, Hatinach mayim yafim. That's fine if what? That's fine if the water, if it's good water. However, so sometimes mikvahs were not necessarily, again, what they call mayim yafim. Sometimes, again, they were not the best water. Because, again, remember, mikvah is not about pleasurable bathing experience. It's about going ahead and becoming tahor. So I understand if you want to tell me that it could look like a person is cooling down, that's nice if the mikvah is good water. If the mikvah is not good water, what is there to say? Because there are times where a person comes, Shrav Rash is his home, where it's very hot outside, and what happens? The Rochez Afilu B'mei Mishra. The boss says, there are times when it is so hot that what? That a person will even go ahead and immerse himself. The boss says, Mei Mishra is flax water. Water that you're soaking flax in, which is very, it's very putrid water. But again, sometimes it's so hot that all a person wants is cold water, and a person doesn't care if that water is clean or not. Teinach b'mosa chamo. So this makes sense in the summer when it's hot. B'mosa gishami ma'ikolimim. But Rabbi say, what about the winter? Amram nachar b'yitzchak, pamim sha'ada b'minasa. Because there are times when a person comes back from the field. Meluchloch b'titu b'tzoa. And a person is filled as well, fashmoth, with dirt, with mud. V'rochitz afilu b'mosa gishami. And what? And a person will immerse himself in water, even in the middle of the cold rainy season. So I will say what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that Lamaisa, therefore immersion in a body of water, an immersion in a mikvah, does not immediately have to look like one is purifying oneself and therefore changing one's state and therefore be a problem of tikkun, but rather again we could just as easily assume that a person is cooling down or for that matter cleaning off. So the Gemara says, Tenach b'Shabbos, I understand this on Shabbos. Okay, even if I buy this idea on Shabbos, that's fine. Yom Kippur and Ma'ika LeMeimar. What about Yom Kippur? What about Yom Kippur? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yom Kippur Ma'ika LeMeimar. Havadai muchacha milsa de letfilim is kavin velo kemeikar. Because Rabbi say again, on Yom Kippur, remember, you're not allowed to clean yourself off. On Yom Kippur, again, a person is not just cooling down. How do we know that? Because Rechitza is asr on Yom Kippur. So there'll only be reason. There'll be only one reason why a person is going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, and that's why, to be metaher himself. So do we not? Because remember, again, you can't cool down. You can't cool down because that's rechitza. You can't clean yourself off. That's rechitza. So there'd only be one reason why a person went to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, and that would be to purify oneself. So how could that be? Let me explain this better. The whole reason we're assuming now that you can go ahead and go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov is why? Because it doesn't immediately look like your tvila, that you're toveling to change your state. It could just as easily be assumed that you're cooling yourself down or you're cleaning yourself off. So the Gemara says, that makes sense on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What about Yom Kippur? Is there a logic to say that you'd be allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? Since on Yom Kippur, you can't say that a person is cooling down because that would be usur. You can't say that a person is washing up because that would be usur. To which the Gemara is Michael and Neymar. Amar Rava, mi'ika midi debishabbos shor b'yom kippurim usur. Is there anything that is permitted on Shabbos and Yom Kippur is usur? Meaning Rabbo saying, Yom Kippur is modeled after Shabbos legabe melocha. So therefore, whatever is going to be permitted on Shabbos will be permitted on Yom Kippur. Ela hoil ubishabbos shari, b'yom kippurim nami shari. Rather, what we have to say is, since on Shabbos it is permitted to immerse in the mikvah, so too on Yom Kippur will be permitted as well. Umi isle l'rava hoil. But does Rava really subscribe to this idea of hoil, that since? I will say hoil means that since something is permitted here, it should be permitted there as well. After Rava Hatnan, we learned, Hachoshesh b'shin of Rabosei, if someone's teeth hurt them. So apparently, again, the Talmudic remedy for a toothache was vinegar. But the issue, remember, is what? On Shabbos, you are not permitted to engage in refuah practices. You can't engage in medicinal practices. Why? A gzera of schika samimonim. A gzera that one may come to go ahead and grind up herbs. So the Gemara, which of course again, and grinding up herbs for medicine, and grinding is the malach of token, one of the 39 malachas. So this is this one. This is very interesting. Vahatana, we learned hachoshesh b'shinav. If somebody has a toothache on Shabbos, so what happens? Lo yigamea b'nas hachometz. You may not sip vinegar, because they're both saying the act of sipping vinegar would in and of itself be an act of refuah, and therefore you can't do it. However, what can you do? You can dip. Remember, vinegar was used as the dipping sauce. You could dip your food in vinegar and eat the food. So Rabbi said, well, what can you do? You could ingest vinegar. Just how do you have to ingest it? You have to ingest it kederech achila, in a normal way of eating. So apparently, again, people wouldn't normally drink, just sip vinegar. So if you start sipping vinegar, that's clearly doing it for medicinal purposes, and that's going to be usur. But you can dip your food in the vinegar, eat your food, and get the medicinal benefits of vinegar like that. But yet we pose a contradiction to this. Lo yigamea upolate. You cannot sip vinegar and spit it out. But what you can do is you could sip it and swallow it. Rabosai, apparently, what the Brisa seems to say over here is what, Rabosai? That if you sip it and spit it out, then what? That's clear that why you're doing it? For medicinal purposes. But apparently, people did sip vinegar. Why would you sip vinegar? So the Gemara elsewhere explains that lemaisa, it actually increases your appetite. So to go in and sip vinegar, swallow it would be okay. To sip it and spit it out would not be okay. So it's conscious what we just said before, because the Mishnah just said before what? That if you have a toothache, you may not sip vinegar at all. So which one is it? Amra Abaye, kitnanai masnisa megameo pole. So Abaye says, no, it's not a contradiction, because when the Mishnah said you may not sip vinegar, what was it talking about? Sipping and spitting. You can't do the sip spit, right? So you can't go ahead and sip it and spit it. However, again, what you can do is sip it and swallow it. Tanan, we learned. Poitanan. Rava says, Afilu tema migamea ubolea. No, you could even say that our Mishnah is talking about the case of where you're sipping and swallowing. Aye, so how could we reconcile them? Velo kasha, kan kodem tibul. Here is before you dipped the food in the vinegar. Kan la'achar tibul. And here is after you dipped the food in the vinegar. Or we'll say, other words, what is the Gemara saying? Before you eat, you could sip and swallow. Why? Because the sipping and swallowing is there to increase your appetite. So before you dip your food in the vinegar, begin your meal, begin to eat, then you could sip and swallow. But again, once you've already eaten, after you've already eaten, you may not even what? You may not even sip and swallow. Why? Because at that point in time, it's clear that what? That you're doing it for medicinal purposes, not to increase your appetite, and that's going to be usur. Aye, but Rava, if you really hold of this idea of hoil, v'im isa, nemo hoil v'kodem tibol shari, La'achol tibul nami shari. Why don't you say that since the sip swallow is permitted before you dip your food, it should be permitted after you dip your food as well? And they both say, what the Gemara is saying over here is that Rava employs this concept of ho'il. Ho'il means since it's true here, it's got to be true over here. So Rava was saying by Yom Kippur, since you can be tovel on Shabbos, you can be tovel on Yom Kippur. So why don't we say over here, since you could sip and swallow prior to dipping the food in the vinegar, you should what? Be able to sip swallow after you've dipped the food as well. To which the Gemara says, Hadar be Rava me'ahi. You're right. Rava retracted this position. Rava retracted this position, and at the end of the day, Rava held like Abaye, that in fact, again, the two statements don't contradict each other, because in the Mishnah said that you can't go ahead and sip the vinegar. That was talking about a case of what? Of sipping and spitting. But when you're sipping and swallowing, indeed, again, that locha is this permitted. So the Gemara says, Umimai demeahi hadarbe. How do you know Rava retracted this position? Dilma meha hadarbei. Maybe Rabbo said Rava retracted his position by Yom Kippur, and maybe Rava does not hold ho'il by Yom Kippur. Maybe he doesn't hold that since you can be tovel on Shabbos, you can be tovel on Yom Kippur as well. Lo sagdaitcha, the sign yet's not true because we learned kol chayvei tvilos. Anyone who is obligated to go to the mikvah, tovelin kidarkon, they are permitted to go to the mikvah in the regular time. Bein betishabav, bein biyom kippur. Because Rabbo said we paskin halacha lemaisa. That if you are obligated to go to the mikvah, lemaisa, again, you're permitted to go even on Tisha B'Av and even on Yom Kippur, even on days where there is an Isser Rechitz. I will say, again, contemporarily, that what this means. So contemporarily, this is not as relevant for us because the only real mandated tefillos we have are for Nida. And woman who's a Nida, we know, does not go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av, and the reason for that is, but that's a separate idea, because since, again, the whole idea of tefillah for Anida contemporarily is to make her mutter to her husband, and those days are Asra B'Tashmish Amita anyway. Again, marital relations are prohibited on those days. Woman does not go to the mikvah on those days. But technically speaking, when it comes to other forms of tumah, one is permitted to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur and even on Tisha B'Av itself. Therefore, Rabbi Osa, because we have this rule on the books already, it's clear that Rava retracted his position by the Tibul and not by Yom Kippur. So, Rabbi Osa, what comes out from this sugya is we have essentially three, four different understandings as to why you can't tovel a kli on Shabbos. According to Rabbi, the issue is that you may come to carry Dalai Lama's and Rosh Sarabim. According to Rav Yosef, the issue is Srita, you may come to ring it out. According to Rav Bibi, the concern is that you may come to therefore delay all of the Tvilas Kilim until when? Yeah. Until Shabbos Yom Tov. And also, again, remember, the Gzera of Shabbos applies to Yom Tov as well. You may come to delay. And according to Rava, because it's Nira Kimetake in Kli, it has the appearance like you're fixing something, which is Doma Limalacha. Let's go a little bit further and show you an interesting piece of halacha. V'shavin shemashikin esakli b'kli yavin. But Rabbo say, both B'sham B'shil will agree that what? That you may go ahead and do this process of hashaka. You may go ahead, remember this, is if you have tummy drinking water, you may go ahead and put it in your stone utensil, which is not mekabel tumah, and you allow it to kiss, to come in contact with the waters of the mikvah, and then make the drinking waters tahor. My avalomat bilut. Rabbo say, but remember what the Mishnah said, but you may not tovel. What is that case? Amar Shmuel, Ein matbilin esakli al gabe meimav letaro biyomtov. Oh, you know what you can't say? It means that if you have a tameh kli, you may not go ahead and immerse the kli because of the waters in it. I could say the following. Let's say I happen to have a wooden utensil that's also tameh. Now we've already established that I could not go ahead and what? I can't be tovel that wooden utensil on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But what can I do? Apparently, I'm permitted to go ahead and be metaher tummy water. So I have a great idea. What am I going to do? I'm going to put my tummy waters inside my tummy wooden utensil. Oh, no, no. My intention is not to be metaher my wooden utensil. What's my intention? To take care of the waters. Oh, but once I take care of the waters, what else is happening? I'm effectively being told with a cleat. Mishnah says you can't do that. That you can't do. This license to metaher the waters is limited to placement of the waters in a stone utensil. But you may not go ahead and be metaher the waters, and by doing so, be metaher another utensil as well. So the Gemara says, "Mani mas nisin." Whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbanon. It's not there being a Rebbe, it's not there being a Rabbanon. Why? Tisanya, because we learned, Ein matpilin es ha-kli al-gabi b'mav letaro, ve'ein mashikin es ha-mayim b'kli evan letaro and divi Rebbe. Because Rabbi Rebbe holds that you may not go ahead and immerse tamei waters inside of a tamei kli, and therefore remedy the kli as well, nor may you do hashaka with tamei waters in a stone utensil. These are the words of Rebbe. Ve'chom nechom say, matbilin kli agab me'mav letaro. The Chacham say you may in fact go ahead and immerse tamei waters even inside of a tamei kli, and therefore remedy the water and the kli itself. Umashikin esamayim b'kli evan letaro. And you may also do a shaka of waters in instant utensils. The Gemara says money. So whose opinion is reflected in our Mishnah? E Rebbe kashya hashaka. It can't be Rebbe. Why, Rabosai? Because Rebbe just said what? You can't do hashaka. Our Mishnah said you can do hashaka. Irabonon kashya hagbala. And if it's the rabbis permitted you to do what, Rabosai? Permitted you to even immerse tummy waters inside of a tummy utensil, thereby remedying the tummy utensil as well. So whose opinion is reflected in our Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, Ebais ema Rebbe. You could say it reflects Rebbe. Reisha de Braisa biyamtav. V'seifa b'shabbes. The kulam asdis in the yamtav. Oh, and Rabbi say, how do you understand Rebbe? That his first statement of ein matbilin es ha-kli al-gabei me'mav letaro, he's talking about what? Is yamtav, which makes sense according to us. And the case where he said, you may not do ashaka, what is that referring to? That's referring to Shabbos. And our Mishnah, which says that you can do ashaka, is talking about what? It's talking about yamtav. The kulam asdis in yamtav. V'bais ema top of your test. V'bois emo rabbonon, and if you want to say that it could also be the rabbonon, the kulamas nisa b'shabbes, and Rabosai, it could be the rabbonon also, and the rabbonon, remember the rabbonon are allowing for what? The rabbonon are allowing matbilin kli agabe meimav letaro, umashikin es amayim b'kli evan. So therefore, Rabosai, according to the rabbonon, you'd have to say that the Mishnah is talking about Shabbos. Tana's talking about Shabbos, where ultimately again hashaka will become tar, but the toveling of the tame kli with the tame contents will not be good. Okay, so the point the Gemara makes over here is that Lamaisa, you can reconcile both opinions of the Rabbanon as well as Rebbe. I just want to show you an interesting piece of halacha regarding tevila. So the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos Rabosai, in Shin Chav Vav Sif Ches. In Shin Chav Vav Sif Ches says the following. Adam, this is the one piece of Halach Lamais that does come out for us. Adam Mutter Litbal Mitum Aso B'Shabbos. A person is permitted to go ahead and be Tovel from his Tumah on Shabbos. Now, Rabosai, understand, the Shulchan Aruch does not speak about the laws of Tuman Tara. Why? Because if Yosef Karo said anything has to do with Tuman Tara, you can look in the Rambam for that. So when he seeks him out over here, Tovel Metumas, what is he referring to over here? He's referring to Tumas Keri, seminal emission. So again, remember, there's the concept of being Tovel for a seminal emission. We meaning outside of, and by the Hasidim, there's still Makbid on this today, to go to the Mikvah every single day. Outside of Hasidic circles, the truth is, what we're pretty much Tomei Chan is the fact that Tisha Kabin, that Aloch Lamaisa, if a person pours 10 Kabin of, excuse me, 9 Kabin of even drawn water, that one could be Metaher oneself from Tumas Keri, which contemporarily for us today means what? A shower. A shower, that if a person takes a shower, that could go ahead and remedy any kind of Keri status. Nevertheless, the Bechaber Paskins, that a person could go to the Mikvah on Shabbos to go ahead and remedy any kind of tumah. Now, Mr. Brewer comments on this, and he says, "Shavs you access you." I apologize. He says, "Adam wrote Selomar af agav dekli asher lahat bilo ulataro mitumaso b'shabbos yom tov." Rabbi, even though we paskin that you may not be tovel a utensil on Shabbos and Yom Tov, why? Mipnei shenira kimetakin hakli al yedei zeh. Rabbi, apparently halacha lemaisa, we really side with the approach of Rabba, that the issue of immersing utensils on Shabbos and Yom Tov is that it's nira kimetakin kli. It looks like you're fixing. That was again Yud Ches Amud Aleph, 5 lines up from the bottom. It looks like you're going ahead and fixing a utensil. So we don't let you go ahead and tovel a kli on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Adam shiny, a person is different, says Mishnah Berurah. Why? Mipnei shehu nira kimetsanin atzmo b'mayim. Because when a person goes into a mikvah, it could also look like what? a person is just simply cooling down. It doesn't automatically have to look like a person is doing something to remedy a tumah status. Va'afilu im ha'iskar, v'gam ha'mayim sruchim shein derech lirchotz bahem. Mikom makom lepamim kisha ada ba min ha'derech u'maluchloch betit v'tzoa ha'derech lirchotz af be'ilu. Rosa, even though the water might be disgusting, and even though, again, it might be cold outside, since it's not uncommon for a person, if he's traveling or he's been walking in the field and he's filled with mud and schmutz, that he may immerse himself even in not the nicest of waters, and even when it's cold outside. Therefore, again, the act itself, objectively, the act itself does not have to appear like an immersion, but rather it could appear like an act of cooling down. Va'al kein mutter afilo hayo yachol litbol kodma Shabbos. And Abosai, again, halocha l'maisa, that's why, again, you could do this even on Shabbos, even if what? Even if you had time to do this, meaning even if you could have done it Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. So Rosh Hashanah is a very interesting idea. So let's say, again, a person has Tumas Keri from Thursday night, right? So Shabbos morning, Erev Shabbos, I could have gone to the mikvah, but Lamaisa, again, even if I didn't, I can still go on Shabbos. Why? Because the act itself need not look like an immersion in the mikvah, but rather what? It could look like an act of just cooling off, or an act of cleaning off. He says, "Va'al kein v'noagos hanoshim shein tovos shelo b'zmanem b'shabbos v'kasa aposkim diafa noagu mishum dechevan desof sof aminag b'zmanenu le'esar b'shabbos lirchos kol agafi lebetzonim." So then he gets into the idea. That we don't do. We're not going into this now. But a tefillah shelo b'zmanah, a woman could go to the mikvah on Shabbos, assuming only if what? Only if that was the real date of her immersion. But let's say she was supposed to go to the mikvah on Thursday night, but for whatever reason could not go. She does not go on Shabbos night. And the reason for that is because l'maisa, again, we're knowing today that we don't do rechitz on Shabbos. We don't do full body washing on Shabbos at all. V'kasu achronim, d'miko makom nir, d'muto litbol akerio, keva nirispatel, ha'takana, u'muto b'tor. Okay, so, fine. So the Ma'aseh in Abosai, he says over here, "V'chin dispashit haminag lahatir ach yizar ma'oshal yabal geischita to Israel." So Abosai, halacha l'maisa, the way we paskin is, you are permitted to go ahead. So about by a man, you're permitted to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. Why? Because again, the issue with tefillah of kelim is that it's nira kimetak. It looks like you're fixing something, and therefore, again, that has the appearance of amalacha. That logic doesn't apply to a person. Why? Because l'maisa, again, the act of immersing in a mikvah need not look like a full immersion, but rather could what? Could look like you're cooling down or washing off, even though, again, circumstantially, that's clearly not true. But since the act, you could tie up yet, you can interpret the act that way. Therefore, it's not a problem, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, again, the Mishnah Berurah just says, just cautious that if you do go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, just be careful about schita. Person just has to be careful about, again, wringing out their hair or wringing out the towel with which one dries themselves. So we'll stop over here. Oh, yeah. Let's jump pick up here tomorrow.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone.
What does it word mean that? Do we find anything on Shabbos that's the comparison to Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Doesn't, I mean,